The rest of you, we're going to John chapter 1 today. John chapter 1, one of my favorite books of the Bible. And this is one of my favorite passages of the Bible. John chapter 1. Be digging into John for quite some time. So if you want to study ahead for the next, little while, John is the place we're going to. We've just finished our study of the church and what the church is. So if you want to keep that same thought going on, we're going to dig really deep into the head of that church, Jesus. That's who we're going with. Now, John's a little different than to the book of Matthew. It begins with a genealogy. Mark, he begins with the ministry of John the Baptist. Luke gives some historical tales around the birth of Jesus. But John does something guys don't do. He goes back before Bethlehem, before Mary, before Abraham, even before Adam, before time itself began. And the reason that John is going to write this gospel, he tells us in chapter 20, verse 31, it says this, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John is writing for one specific reason in this gospel, and that is to show that Jesus wasn't just a man, he wasn't just a prophet or a good teacher, but he was God himself. And that is a truth that I think a lot of Christians we take for granted as we go about our daily lives. We know all about Jesus, but I think we become numb to the fact of just exactly who he is. Now, in John chapter 1, in these first 17 verses, which is what we're looking at today, John, he starts unfolding this truth like a curtain opening up on a stage. We're not going to get to the reveal until verse 17. And he builds a case before 16 verses that Jesus is God. In fact, at first, somebody called the Word. And everything after the Word is the Word is, who he is, what he is. And then we get the reveal. So, verse 1 of John 1 says this. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. And the Word was God. Let's pray together this morning.
Let the prayer pray. Let all pray now.
Of just how great you are and how great your love that you have for us is. Lord, just open our hearts to your word this morning. Let us see you for who you are. All the praise and glory for every. Now, the word. It's such an interesting word that we have to begin. In the Greek, that term is logos. We're talking about the logos. And as John is writing this, he's not just writing to a particular group of people. He's writing to the Jews. He's writing to the Greeks. He's writing to whoever will listen. And when he uses the word logos, that perks people's ears. To the Jews, the Logos, that is the Word, the active power of God. We get that in Genesis 1. If that, in the beginning, that should ring a bell to back to Genesis 1. Jesus spoke. God spoke. And the worlds and galaxies were created. God spoke and creation obey. That's the logos to the Jews. Now to the Greeks, they hear the word logos. Their ears perk up and they start thinking about reason and wisdom, the ultimate wisdom. So when people are reading this gospel and they get, you start combining these things. And what John is about to do is put an identity, not just to the power of God, but to wisdom and to reason. So both these groups of people, exactly what John is talking about. Now, let's super familiar. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Very tried to establish who this word is, and we're trying to establish the characteristics and the attributes that go with him. Now, in the word began. That's not heard. In other words, the word already existed in the beginning. So what we're talking about when we look at the word, this is something, someone eternal. Someone that doesn't have a beginning. They were there when the beginning began. This is somebody that goes beyond. There has never been a time, never been a moment in all of eternity that the word on exists. Now let's keep. Actually, in Psalm 90, y'all can write this down. I'm not going to have you all over the place, but Psalm 91 verse 2 says this. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. When we're talking about whoever this is, we're talking about an eternal God. Now, let's see what else. In the beginning was the now, two really important truths here. We have a distinction between this is God the Father and whoever this word is. They're not the same person. They're with each other. So that tells Father and this word, we have now in John 17 and verse 5, we'll get here in a few weeks. He said, "Now, O Father, glorify yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was." So we have that in the beginning. And we have the Word was with God, was in fellowship with God.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was
not only is the Word in fellowship with God the Father for all of eternity, the Word is also God Himself. We're getting introduced to the Trinity here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No room for confusion. Oh, well, He was God-like. He was similar to God. No, the Word was. That means that everything that makes God, God, also applies to the Word. When we talk about when we talk about His holiness, His omnipotence, His everything about Him is also true of the Word, His sovereignty. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We get a little bit more. This word is not an it. This word is not an object. We have a person. He was in the beginning with God. So this word is eternal with the Father. He is God Himself. Let's keep going. Verse 3. All things were made through Him, And without him, nothing was made that was made. Now, I want you to catch this. He's eternal. He's in eternal fellowship with God the Father. He's God himself. And he's the one that created everything. Now, our little kids in Sunday school this morning, they started in Genesis 1, talking about creation. Y'all know, let's flip back there real fast. Genesis 1, I want you to see this. Because I want us to make sure my purpose for what we're about to know exactly. I want you to be in awe of him for who he is. Look here. Amen if you got it. In the beginning, God created the heaven. Earth was without form and void and dark.
Then God said, let there be light.
Hided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And on it goes. So who was it that was doing the creating? When God said, let there be light, there was light. When God said, let there be a sun, there's a sun. When God said, let there be galaxies, there was galaxies. I love. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light. And I love, you know, when you look up in the sky at night, you can't count how many stars you see. You just think about how many galaxies and planets and suns there are out there. All the Bible says about the stars also. Like it's no big deal. But who was it that was doing the creating? It was the Word. The Word spoke. And creation came to be. It obeyed his word. Six, every sea animal and bird created on day five. All of it created by the word. To go back to John 1. If I tell you to turn away from John 1, you might want to save your spot. We're going to be in John 1 for a while. Verse 3. All
with that nothing came. The word
think of the vastness of this universe. We don't even have a clue what's at the bottom of our oceans. We can't imagine what's out in deep space. We haven't seen it all. The span of distance. We can't even comprehend what that is. And yet, nothing was made that was made without the Word. Talk about power. You talk about God-like. It's the Word. Oh, man. Verse 4. In him, in the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. Now, life is not something that Jesus possesses externally. This is a description of who he is. He is life. There is no life outside of the Word. Now, not just physical life. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we were just there. His nostrils, the breath of life. Psalm 139. This is my favorite psalm in all the psalms. This one's my favorite. Psalm 139. I don't want to make this impersonal to you. Psalm 139. And look in verse 13. We're talking about physical life right now. The word possesses and has this. have to do with you. Verse 13, say amen if you got it. Look here. For you, remember, nothing was made that was made unless the Word made it. Okay? So for you, the Word formed heart. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from skillfully wrought in the to the earth. Your eyes, the eyes of the Word, saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were. Who created you? The Word. Nothing that was made with. Heartbeat. Every breath you take is life from the Word. And not just physical life. We're also talking about spiritual life. Back to John 1:1. Or 1:5, I'm sorry. Back to John 1:5. Look here. We'll start verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. A better translation of comprehend there is actually the word overcome. And the darkness did not overcome it. We're talking about the life that he brings. We're talking about the light that he brings. Darkness has never been able to overcome it. In Genesis 1:2, it was dark and void, and Jesus spoke. From the dawn of creation, from the darkness of creation to the darkness of sin and death, the darkness has never been able to overcome the light of the Word. If the darkness could overcome the light of the Word, he wouldn't be much of a God at all, would he? But he's conquered it, not just physically, but spiritually as well. Let's keep going. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light. So John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now we have the Word. We have that he's eternal. We have that he has eternal fellowship with God the Father. We have that he's God himself. We have that the Word is the creator of all things, and nothing that was made without him. We have that he is the source and light. And then John starts talking about John the Baptist. Why in the world would we go from the Word being light and life to John the Baptist? Well, that's simple. The Word is also promised Messiah of the Old Testament. Now he's making a case here. He's making a case for who Jesus is. He starts with his deity, and now he's bringing it down. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Chapter 3. Save your spot in John. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see this. Why in the world would I care who? That's a big deal. Genesis 3, and look in verse 14. Walking and talking daily with God and learning from him. And he gave the all the trees in the garden. You can eat, you can take, whatever you want. But of knowledge of good and evil. He said, Adam and Eve. You know, Eve gets a lot of slack for this, but Adam was right there with her. Says so. Go by this tree, and there's a talking serpent. I've always found it interesting that that didn't confuse them. They were perfectly fine with the serpent talking. I thought that was always weird. But the serpent talks. And he twists the words of God just enough to make Eve doubt and question. And sure enough, Eve takes a bite, gives whatever fruit that was to Adam, who's right there with her. And he bites. And sin comes into the world. Y'all know what happens. They realize they're naked. They run. They try to hide. They try to make clothes out of fig leaves and fix the problems themselves. And here comes the Lord, and he's, you know, Adam, where are you? And he's hiding, and they start making excuses, and the curse comes. Look here.
The guy said, you know, what if this book, and you won't get earthy, and that he, like,
because
all your power, child, dope. Kelly got all a date to bite.
Put enmity between you, not a snake, but Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman, your seed and her seed. Now, and her seed. In your Bible, is that S capitalized? Yeah. We're talking about somebody very specific. Mercy. And shall bruise his heel. This is the first prophecy we get of a Messiah. Somebody that was going to come and save mankind from the curse of sin that was placed upon it. He makes the promise himself. I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. 1,000 years, creation waited for the Messiah. They cried for it, they longed for it, and they waited for it. In Isaiah chapter 40, the Jews, and he's telling them about this Messiah. For God. He's saying before the Messiah comes, there's going to be a messenger. And this messenger is going to be like a voice crying out in the book of the Old Testament, Malachi. Talking about
people, I think my name. And you prepare the way for court, and the Lord we seek will suddenly drop in his bed. Even the best
through it. Old, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. The promise of a Messiah. And then, 400 years of absolute silence. Not a word. Not a word from God. Not a word from heaven. Nothing. No prophet. No teacher. Silence. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I want you to imagine the scene here. 400 years of silence. You know, we like to complain when we feel like God's been silent with us for a day or two. Could you imagine 400 years of nothing? Think of their history. Prophets like Elisha and Elijah, and Jeremiah and Isaiah, they've had the word of God for 4,000 years coming to them, and all of a sudden, nothing. Nothing. It's like the suspense. And out of the blue, here comes Wild Man preaching. Chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember, prepare the way of the Lord. What better way to prepare for God than to say, repent? Get right, because he's coming. Look, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. I want you to imagine this. 400 years of silence. And here comes this dude wearing nothing but camel's hair and eating grasshoppers. He had the look of a prophet. He had the words of a prophet. This is the one the Old Testament promised was coming. Now, who's supposed to come right after the Messiah comes? The Messiah. The promised. The woman's seed who was promised to crush the head of the serpent. He's supposed to be right. John is saying, the word, that's who John was pointing to. Look again. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, the word. So whoever this word is, he's just the life and light of men. He's not just in fellowship with God the Father. This is the one. This is the one that creation waited for 4,000 years. Here he is. John bears witness and is pointing to him. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, the Jews loved. They loved their prophets. They loved to learn. This is a slam dunk, right? Here's the one, the voice, crying out in the wilderness. Here he is. He's pointing to the one we've been waiting for, the one our fathers told us about. He's coming, right? Here comes the Messiah. Look what happens in verse 10. He was in the world, the one that John's bearing witness of, the Word. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own. The world that he created, the world that belonged, the world that came into existence because he spoke, the people that he knit together in their mother's womb, the people whose days were written in his book, the people that he knew every single thing about, he came as he and was rejected. Could you imagine? We get a glimpse into how Jesus felt about that. In Luke 19, you could turn there if you want to. Verse 41. This is Palm Sunday. Jesus is riding in on the foal of a donkey. Everybody's laying the palm branches down. The Pharisees are trying to shut them up. Jesus says, if they're quiet, the rocks will cry out, because even creation is longing for saving. And he enters in. People are shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! But he knows their hearts. And he people.
He saw the city and wept over it, saying,
had known, even you, if you know,
especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. This day was prophesied. This specific day was prophesied. All Jerusalem should have been at that gate, welcoming their Messiah. And instead, just a few days later, the same ones that were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, they're crying out, crucify him. Crucify him. The heartbreak. None of that. Isaiah 53 is all about the suffering servant who came and died. By his wounds, we are healed. He knew what was going to happen. Knew the rejection was coming. He knew that these very people that he put together, he knew they were going to nail him to the cross using wood that he created. He created the tree that he hung on. This is the kind of God we're talking about. Owing the rejection, knowing it was coming, he came anyway. Why? Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Why did he come? He came because he loves you. And more than anything else, he wants you to be with him. He knows that he's going to be rejected. He knew what he was going to have to go through. And he came anywhere. He came anywhere. When we're talking about the word, he's God. Yeah. He is an eternal fellowship of God the Father. He's eternal. He's been here forever. He's created everything and everyone. Anything that has life came from him. Everything. If you are breathing right now, it's because he's giving you breath. And this word, into the very world that he created, to the people that he put together, knowing he was going to be rejected and crucified, and he came because those that would receive him, they get to be children of God. We get to be saved by him. The Bible, verse 14. Look here. And the word. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The God, the one that spoke creation into existence, who has been with God the Father glorified for all of eternity, sitting on his throne, his rightful place in heaven, receiving worship of the angels, receiving all that God gets. Throne. He left glory. He left it all. It became flesh for us. Learn how to walk. He had to do everything that we did. the one that created Mary's womb, he went into to be born. What kind of God does that?
You look at every other God from every religion that's in the world, and all of them are always exalted. They're always higher. They're on some other plane of existence, some plane of wisdom, whatever it is. Christianity, though, our God lowered himself to become one of us.
Man, we take that for granted, don't we? When we talk about Jesus being the head of the church and him getting to be Lord of your life and him to be the one that gets to be the boss and tell you what to do and get off like it's nothing. We're talking about the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the one that sustains your breath so that you can walk, and we disregard his commands as if they're nothing. He says, go make disciples. And we shrug, and we choose not to, like some random dude gave us that command. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Oh, man, it's a little rainy outside. I think I'll just stay home. A random guy gave us the command. When we look at the commands in the Bible, when it says, go make disciples, when it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, when it says, love one another, pray for one another, bear with one another, it is a command given by the God of the universe, and he expects his creation to follow what he says. We're talking about the God of glory. Here in a few, probably months, we're going to be in Revelation, and we're going to see the glory that he has. He receives it, and he comes back in full-blown power of it, and it's going to be an amazing thing. But this little baby, this God that became flesh, he is no less God than he was before he came. Fully God, the Word, and he dwelt among us. You know, we don't get a whole lot of his life for the first 30 years. We know we get Earth. That's a pretty famous story. We get one more when he's about 12 years old. Mary and Joseph leave him in the temple. Could you imagine Mary and Joseph? They had one job, and they left the Son of God in the temple. I love that that story's included, though, if you're a parent. Amen. But listen, he had to do all the things that we did. He had to learn how to eat. He had to learn how to walk, and he had to learn how to talk. He probably, you know, Joseph was a carpenter. He's probably right there and having to go get tools for his dad, and his dad's yelling at him. You know, like, he was fully human too. 100% man, 100% God. Well, Colton, that doesn't make sense. That math don't matter. I know. I can't explain that to you. But everything. He got a job. He was working. Laziness is simple. You know, he wasn't lazy. He was a hard worker. I don't know what all he did, but he had to learn everything, just like we do. King flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him. John bore witness of him, and they cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And that was Jesus was. And they're saying, how can he be before you? You were born 6 months earlier. That's the point John trying to make here. It's because He's eternal. He's been around a lot longer than right then in that moment. In fact, John the Baptist was knit together by in his mother's womb. Listen, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. You know what that means? The waves, wave after wave after wave of grace. What greater act of grace is there from God than to send himself, his son, down to earth for us? That's grace. We didn't deserve that. Mankind, we made our bed, right? We ate of the fruit. We sinned. We disobeyed the command of God. He had every right to let us labor in vain, to leave us in our sin and our death, to forget all about us. He had every right to do that. And he could have. But because of the great love with which he loved us, he came. Grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses. Now, we know that, right? It's part of the law is the Ten Commandments. Through Moses, right? But what did the law do? What was the purpose of it? Why was that given to Moses to teach? The law never saved anybody. You know why? Because nobody's ever been able to keep it. When we look at the law, we don't see salvation. We see death. Let me prove it to you. We'll take a simple test. We'll just use a few of the Ten Commandments, and I think we'll get the result I'm looking for here. You shall not lie. If you have lied ever in your life, raise your hand. Okay, if you're not raising your hand, you just did. Okay, so we're already failing, all of us, and we're just one in. When we say, honor your father and mother, how many of you have failed at that at least one time in your life? Raise your hand. Okay? You shall not murder. But Jesus said, if you think evil of your brother, you've already committed murder in your hearts. So how many murderers do we have in here today? Yeah, all of us. You shall not commit adultery. Well, hopefully you haven't, but Jesus said, if you've looked at a woman or a man with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So we're a bunch of lying, murderous, adulterous, dishonoring people. We ain't got a chance. We ain't got a chance to be holy enough to come into God. So when we look at the law, we don't see. We see conscience. We see guilt. We see, oh, I'm in real big trouble.
And that's the point.
The law to show us without doubt that we needed saving. That's what the law did. Let's start back at verse 1. Let's read up. The Word. And the Word was God. He
were made fruit of it, and without it, nothing would be that it be in him with life, the life with the light of his dead.
And the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came might believe light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Who is the Word? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. The eternal God, the creator of all things, the source of life, the source of light, the one rejected by his own, the one rejected by the world, the one received by believers, the one who became flesh. His name is Jesus. And for the rest of this book, John is pointing to two facts: that Jesus is God, and that if you call on his name, he will save you. That's the message of John. That's what we're going to be digging into for the next few months. So how about you this morning? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you believe that he is who the Bible says he is? That he is God? That he came and became flesh to live a perfect life? I said nobody's fulfilled the law. One has. He did. Perfectly. The wages of sin. Why did he die? He took upon himself your wages for sin. He took upon himself your sin, your shame, and he nailed them to a cross. And we're going to see this here in a little while. But for the first time in all of history and all of eternity, God the Father and God the Son were separated for just a little bit. The Father turned his face away. Remember, Jesus cries out, Why have you forsaken me? He never experienced that before. But he experienced that for you. Because if you die in your sin, your shame this morning, that's your destiny, to be eternally separated from the God that lovingly created you. You know, we give the Jews a hard time because he came to his own and they rejected him. There's plenty of people still doing. The very ones and created and give life to and breath to, those very are still rejecting him. They think this world has something better to offer. They take the love of the world and the beauty and the shiny things that come with it, and they think that's what's going to bring them fulfillment, and they reject the Savior. Don't be that. Everything in this world is temporary. The jobs, the house, all of it, it's temporary. It's going to pass away one day. Your soul, though, your soul is eternal. Only Jesus came. He is the source of life. World has none in it. You want life to your dead soul, you call the name of Jesus. He promises. He brings it to you. Do you need to be saved this morning? Up here, I'll show you in the Word how to be saved. You ain't got to trust my word. Sits. You need to join the church this morning? We're expected to be member of the local body. Bring it on, man. We'd love to have you. Be obedient to your Creator. Do you just need to repent this morning? Maybe you ain't been living the way that you're expected to, that he expects you to. There ain't no long, drawn-out process. I ain't got to slap you with a stick or anything. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and to forgive us and to cleanse us from all righteousness.
that fast. What do you need this morning? Well, I have an invitation. This altar's open as the band comes. Pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day, for your word, for you, for who you are and what you've done and what you're doing. You're a God. Lord, you're so worth our worship and our praise. You deserve it all. You deserve everything about me. Every bit of me is yours. The only one worthy to have it. Lord, thank you so much for coming and becoming a man. You dealt with the things that we dealt with. You were tempted in every way we've ever been tempted. Lord, we don't call on a God that doesn't understand us. We call on you, and you went through, and you know how we are, and you know how we feel. I thank you for that comfort. Lord, I thank you for the grace that you've given. Thank you for the love that you have for us. And we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.